Thank you very much. And do keep that passage open. It'd be helpful to be able to refer to it as we delve into God's word. And let me pray for us as we prepare to do that. Let's pray. Psalm 119 says, I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart. Our gracious God, we pray that your word would find a place in our hearts this lunchtime. That you would help us to seek you with all of our heart. And we pray that you would enable us by your spirit not to stray from your commands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There you go. You're going to have that stuck in your head for the rest of the day now, as I've had for the past week or so. That is, of course, Pharrell Williams' hit song, Happy. Clap along if you feel that happiness is the truth. Clap along if you know what happiness is to you, because I'm happy. It's not surprising, is it, to see how well that song has caught on. It's sold however many million copies. It's been copied so many ways around the world. I just saw that the BBC Breakfast team from BBC News have put together a version of that video. You can find it online if you want to take some time to watch that at some point. But it's not difficult to see why that song catches on, not just because it's got a fun beat and it's a catchy song, but because the idea of being happy is one that we all can buy into. Is this? I mean, we all want to be happy, don't we? And it might be surprising for you to think that happiness and how to be happy is the subject of the very first psalm in the Bible. It's there open in front of you. Psalm 1 is on page 543. It's all about how to be happy. You may not notice that because it begins not with the word happy. It says, blessed is the one. And the Bible talks about blessing. It talks about God blessing us. It talks about us blessing God. But it actually uses a different word from that, the one that's used here. In fact, you could legitimately translate the opening of this psalm, happy is the one. This psalm is all about how to be happy. And we're launching into this lunchtime series looking at the book of Psalms. And this psalm, Psalm 1, has not been placed here at random. It is placed at the beginning of the book of Psalms to introduce the whole book. So in many ways, you could say all of the psalms, all 150, are really about how to be happy. And if you read through the book of Psalms, you will find that therefore that is not a happiness that is superficial. It's not a happiness that is trivial, and not a kind of, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands kind of happiness. If you feel it right there and then, it is, in fact, a deep and profound happiness. A happiness that is more than just feeling a smile on your face, but it's a happiness that extends through the struggles with suffering, through the questions of doubt, through the ups and downs of life. It's that kind of happiness that the book of Psalms, indeed the whole Bible, wants to direct us to. And if we face it, that is really the kind of happiness we want, isn't it? Not just to have a smile on our face because the sun's out outside, for once, but something that is deeper within us that allows us to say that I am happy, even when life seems to be going very badly wrong. Well, the question is then, how do we get this kind of happiness? How do we pursue this kind of happiness in our life? Well, that's expanded throughout the whole book of Psalms. That's really going to be a theme that will run through all of the Psalms we're looking at. But it starts here in Psalm 1. And I think Psalm 1 tells us two key ways to think about how to be happy. And that is that happiness is about our direction and about our security. Let's begin with the first of those. Happiness is about our direction. And that happiness word that's used here, blessed or happy is the one, is actually a word that is all to do with direction, about the direction that our lives are going in. It comes from the Hebrew word that literally means to advance or to go in a straight path. And so it conveys that happiness, this deep and profound kind of happiness that we want to know, is about a happiness of someone who is led on the straight path. As someone who is on the right road and not the wrong road. Someone who is going in the right direction and not lost in the woods. You see, this psalm contrasts for us two ways to go in life. It's highlighted for us in the very last line of the psalm. There are two ways. There is the way of the righteous or the way of the wicked. We are, as it were, at a junction, just like the picture of this chap very nicely dressed, but a choice of two ways to go. Will we go the way of the righteous, or will we go the way of the wicked? And it's perhaps shocking to us in the world of choice that we have, that we can go into a supermarket, have so much choice of things that we can buy, that the Bible presents us only with two choices. The way of the righteous or the way of the wicked. There's no third way. There's no alternative route. There's no rerouting through the sat-nav and going a different way because of the roadworks. It really are only two ways. The right path or the wrong one. So how do we work that out? Well, the psalm opens with the negative. It shows us the wrong path. It says, blessed is the one who does not walk. And it details for us the wrong path to go. Let's look at it again. Verse 1, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that the sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. So this gives us the way of the wicked. And in the Bible, wicked is not just a moral category, those who do wicked things, but it is a theological one. It is those who ignore God, who live in rebellion against him, who live their lives in a direction that says, I don't really care whether God exists, and I'm going to live my life without reference to him. Here, we're given a more of a picture by giving two other names, the wicked, but also sinners, that is, those who break God's commands, and mockers, those who scorn and ridicule God. But we're not to think that these are three different types of people. In fact, they are three descriptions of the same kind of person, and indeed the same kind of direction. It is the way of the wicked to walk in step with those who live this way, who live without reference to God. And happiness, this deep, godly happiness, happiness in God starts by resisting the pull of these kind of people and walking in the other direction. A woman was once asked, when she reached the ripe old age of 104, she was asked what she thought the best thing about being 104 was. And she says this, there is no peer pressure when you get to 104. Well, that might be an advantage of getting to that ripe old age, and we pray that we might make it there. But if we haven't made it to 104, the chances are we all know what it means to be under peer pressure. We know the pull of others around us. We know the pull of the society that we live in. We know the pull of the way of the wicked. We know the tide and the current of life that pulls us away from God. That is the world in which we live. It's the air that we breathe is ignoring God and living as if he does not exist. And this psalm is very honest about that current. It's honest about the way in which the world pulls us along and pulls us under. And I wonder, do you see the progression here? It begins with walking, it moves to standing, and then to sitting. It shows the way in which that pull of the way of the wicked entices us. First of all, we're just walking alongside with people, and we're just sort of getting alongside them, and then before we know it, we're then standing. We've paused in our life to listen to more of what they say, and before we know it, we're sitting down with them, and we feel that we belong, we're at home in a world that ignores God. That is the force and flow of the world that we live in. And in fact, it's the force and flow of our own hearts. Unchecked, that is the way in which we naturally go, even if no one else was pulling us in that direction. And we know that in our workplace, don't we? If we drift, we drift away from God and away along with the way of the world, the way of the wicked. So the question is, how do we resist? If we want to pursue happiness of God, how do we resist that? How do we stop and turn and go God's way? The answer is given to us in verse 2. Blessed is the one who does not walk that way, but in whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. There is the solution. There's the right way to go. It is to delight in the law of the Lord. And we mustn't think as we read that, that that's just the sort of command bits of the Old Testament. You know, those tough bits in Leviticus, which is when if you decide to read through the Bible, the wheels come off the wagon and you decide to give up. You know, all those weird things about sort of tassels on garments and things like that. No, what the psalmist means by the law of the Lord is a shorthand way of referring to all that God has revealed. The way to go God's way is to delight in God and in his word. Do you see that the psalmist says, the way of the righteous is to delight in the law of the Lord. It doesn't say those who read God's word. It doesn't say those who study God's word. It doesn't say those who understand God's word, although it ought to involve all three of those things, reading, studying, understanding. But it says someone who delights in God's word. But they don't just open their Bibles in the morning because they know it's the right thing to do, and the home group leader might ask them if they've done that, or Charmaine, as we exit from lunchtime service, might say, how's your Bible reading going? And we'll feel really guilty if we haven't done it. The way of the righteous is those who delight in God's word, who want to hear from God. The way of the wicked is wanting to hear from those who ignore God. The way of the righteous is to want to hear from God, the God who has spoken, who wants to hear what God has to say about directing our steps. And the way that we do that is by meditating on his law. Now, when we hear that word meditation, I'm sure the image that comes into most of our minds is sort of Eastern meditation, where the goal is to empty your mind, perhaps through some sort of meaningless mantra or through other meditation techniques. The idea is to sort of achieve that sort of unthinking state, which is supposed to be nice and relaxing. I've never achieved that. My mind always fills up with other things. I don't know about you. But that's sort of the image that we get when it comes to meditation. But the Bible's idea of meditation is almost exactly the opposite. It's not about emptying our mind, but rather about filling it. In fact, the word that's used there, the one who meditates on his law, the word has the sense of muttering or murmuring to yourself. It's not a quiet thing. It's actually an loud thing. It's about speaking the law of the Lord to yourself and doing so continuously. Do you see? He meditates on his law day and night. There's no moments where the law of the Lord isn't something that he delights in and wants to speak to himself. Dale Ralph Davis has written a tremendous book on the Psalms, the first 12 Psalms, called The Way of the Righteous in the Muck of Life. I recommend it to you. And he explains this idea of meditation this way. He says, look, if you go and ask for directions, it's a rare thing for a bloke to do, but occasionally you have to. You're in the middle of nowhere. You don't know where you're going. Perhaps you stop the car and you ask someone, can you tell me the way to so-and-so? And they say, yeah, okay, you've got to go sort of a mile down this road, then take the next left, and then the third right, and then when you get to the train station, cross the rails and then go that way. Now, if you get this long list of directions, you often go away from that conversation repeating them to yourself, don't you? Okay, so I've got to go down a mile, then take the first left, then the third right, and you repeat that over yourself so you don't forget it, so you know the right way. That is the idea of the Bible's view of meditating on the law of the Lord. It is repeating it to yourself. It's filling your mind with the law of the Lord so you don't forget it, so that the pull and the current of the way of the wicked, our own hearts and the world around us, will not take over. But instead, our minds will be filled with knowing what God has said, to have our steps directed in his paths by continually filling our minds with God's word. How do we be happy? It's about our direction. It's about not going along with the pull of our own hearts or the world, but being directed by God and his word. And then secondly, happiness is not just about direction, but also about security. There's a picture of a wonderful tree by water, because that is the picture that the psalmist draws for us of what this kind of person is like. What is a happy person? Well, a happy person is like a healthy tree. Maybe not the picture that instantly came to your mind, but that's a picture the psalmist wants us to see. The happy person with this deep and abiding happiness in God is like a tree planted by streams of water. So here is an image of a tree that is solid and secure, one that is fed and sustained with all that it needs to live and grow. And that is not just for its own health, but it produces something. It produces its fruit in season. That is, the tree is working as it should do. It's operating as it ought to. It's living as God intended it to. And its leaf, we're told, does not wither. It's protected from the effects of drought and disease. Here is the aim. It's a wonderful picture for us to think about. What does it mean to be happy? Well, it means that, as verse 3 says, whatever we do prospers. Now, there's a dangerous set of words, isn't it? Because we can begin to think that, okay, if all we do is meditate on the law of the Lord, then all we'll do will prosper. Life will be good and nothing bad will come our way. Well, let me kind of burst that bubble. If you read through the book of Psalms, you'll find that following the law of the Lord does not always lead to ease and comfort. In fact, read through the book of Psalms and you'll find that following the law of the Lord, being God's people, does not put an end to hardship and pain and grief. Some of those Psalms are wonderful expressions of what it means to struggle and to question and to feel pain. It's not the Bible's picture. It's not the picture of the book of Psalms. Nor is it some kind of recipe for business success. This isn't the way to your best life now and the way to prosper in your business, for your company to grow, your share prices to increase, profits to rise. Now, what this is intended to give us a picture of health and stability that is contrasting with the condition of the wicked. Do you see that in verse 4? If we've got the picture of this healthy, stable tree in verse 3, verse 4, not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Now, those of us in London probably don't have a lot to do with harvesting, so you may not instantly know what chaff is. Chaff is the stalk of the wheat, which is useless and inedible. It's there to help the wheat grow, but when it comes to actually using the wheat, harvesting it, making it into flour or whatnot, then that stalk is useless. It needs to be thrown away. And so when the wheat is harvested, it's thrown up into the air, and particularly in a culture like the Old Testament, that would have been done perhaps outside or somewhere where the wind can blow through. And the heavier part of the wheat that is the good and healthy stuff, well, that falls quickly to the ground. But the chaff, which is light and insubstantial, just gets blown away by the wind. Can we see the picture, the contrast that the psalmist is trying to give us? If the way of the righteous leads to a healthy, rooted, stable life, well then the way of the wicked is like chaff, unrooted, unproductive, easily dismissed, and easily destroyed. Now at first glance, that picture seems patently ridiculous, doesn't it? And we look at a world around us, and the wicked are the ones who seem to prosper. They seem anything but chaff. They seem to have everything. They have healthy bank balances. They have all the things that they could need. And those who ignore God appear to do well. And if anything, it's Christians who seem to be the ones battled and blasted by the winds of the world. You see, if we are to understand this picture of security properly, we need to have the same view as the psalmist's. You see, the psalmist's view is much further ahead. He's not describing the situation now. He's not saying if you're a Christian, then all will be well and healthy and good, and if you're not a Christian, well, then everything will be a disaster. No, he is looking at the fate of people in eternity. It is how we are standing then, how we are rooted then, that is of greatest importance. And he says in verse 5, therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment. He's looking beyond earthly prosperity to God's opinion and God's judgment on us. He's looking there for the root of our happiness. This isn't some idea of having our head in the clouds and only thinking about heaven and not living now. But what the psalmist wants us to see is that our security rooted in our eternal destiny is what shapes our life now. It what makes us have our steps directed now, to have that deep-rooted happiness now and all the fullness when we come to the age to come. The psalmist wants us to see that happiness is about our security. And you see that that security, therefore, is not the things that we often look for security. Where do we do look for security? Well, we look for security often in our bank balance, in our income, the health of our pension plan, our savings account. That's often what makes us feel secure. Have I got the money I need for now and for the years to come? Our security can be found in our house, our property portfolio, the state of our home improvements. Have I made all the things that I want to do around my house so that I can feel that it's increased in value? It's a nice place to live. Our security easily comes from our role and our title at work. You know, have I got that senior word? Have I got that extra executive word? Am I a senior executive? All those kind of things can build our security, our employment status, our job security, our career path. In fact, whether or not we have a job or not can be very much the source of our security. Now, don't get me wrong. All of those things are good. They're healthy things to think about. They're good things to consider. But they are not the things that will bring us true security nor true happiness. You see, the psalmist wants us to see what it means to be happy. He wants us to see that what it means to be happy is the direction that we're taking, whether it's towards God or away from him. And he wants us to see that true happiness comes from being secure in our eternal security. Not to think about how others view us, or indeed about how we see ourselves, but knowing what God thinks of us. And to hear his approval through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, through his death and resurrection, and to know our security on that day when he will return. So is that where your security, where your roots lie today? Clap along if you know what happiness is to you, sings Pharrell Williams. It's a great song, but I would suggest that a better question, a better thing to think about, is to know what happiness is to God, and to see happiness through his eyes, and to know our happiness in him. Let me pray. Our gracious God, we thank you for this psalm. We pray that we would be those who delight in your words. Keep us from walking in step with the wicked, but instead, may your word, what you have said, how you direct us, fill our hearts and our minds and our lives. And may we know our security in you. May we know that you love us and that you bless us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And may that change our whole world. May it change our actions here and now to your praise and glory. Amen.